The Sloppy Sorting Hat is a podcast that includes adult language and content, as well as spoilers from your favorite TV shows, movies, and books. It is also a zero-budget production that may sometimes have weird audio quirks. You have been warned, and this is your last warning.
It's the Sloppy Sorting Hat.
Welcome to the Sloppy Sorting Hat. This is a podcast where we sort characters from our favorite movies, books, and TV shows, but because the hat and we are a little sloppy, we will most likely get it wrong. I'm Mish.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Amanda. On this episode, we're going to stick with the status quo. We have games, beer, brooms, sorting, and mashups.
We're sorting the characters from High School Musical. They don't know magic, but they sing.
Did you make it up?
I'm pretty sure. But first, I need to use the same joke Amanda did and say, we need to stick to the status quo and stay in our lane, a.k.a. we got to get sloppy.
Ready, Fred? Ready, George.
Bottoms up.
High School Musical is a good one. That song was from High School Musical 3. High School Musical.
I've never seen High School Musical 3.
Right. Oh, that one's the best.
No, the first one's the best.
All right, well, I'll get us started on the sloppiness front. And talk about this episode's better beer. So today I am drinking Jackie O's Close But Far, the better beer of choice for a Harry Potter who's not quite dead, talking to his very dead mentor in his head. His body's close, but his soul is far. So cheers to you, HP, and sorry about that grope from Narcissa.
Oh my God.
The grope? It opens at the close.
But yeah, this is a great beer. It's, an IPA, obviously, because I don't drink anything else anymore, it seems like. But it's got a really great, hoppy, citrusy sort of hazy flavor, and I enjoy it.
Love that hazy flavor. Woo! It's my fave.
Danny, what are you drinking?
I am drinking the Rheingeist Sunspun Shandy for no other reason than everybody left it at my house a couple weeks ago.
Hey, there's no other reason mostly, you need.
It's mostly sunny in Albuquerque, I think.
Yeah. But Danny, why are you on sequels? We're just doing the first one.
The movie takes place in Albuquerque.
Sorry. I was thinking the summer one, which is the second one. Which is in Albuquerque, too, but they're, sorry, that's what I was thinking of.
Albuquerque. It's a fun name for a city. All right. It's good. It tastes like grapefruit and orange juice, because that's what the can says it's supposed to taste like.
Woo, all right. Not false advertising. Amanda, what are you drinking?
Is anyone going to ask me what I'm drinking?
Jesus. Amanda, what are you sipping on?
A beer from our refrigerator. I am drinking a coffee beer that I feel like has already been advertised on this podcast, from Wolf's Ridge Brewery. It's delicious. I love my coffee beers, and Columbus is the best. So that's what I'm drinking tonight. So while we're getting sloppy, let's play Dude, Where's My Broom?
Besides, you don't even know how to fly.
So for this segment, I have been doing a bit of boozing and my broom landed somewhere and have no idea where I'm at.
You are boozing and flying?
Yeah, I'm boozing and flying.
Flying.
I'm going to let my sisters know what I see so they can come and get me because I need their help. So I see a lot of magical people.
Hogwarts.
No. I see some of those magical people celebrating.
Times Square.
It's a good guess, but no.
Is it Bill and Fleur's wedding?
Nope.
Is it for Privet Drive in Surrey, London?
Why in the world would they be celebrating there? But
well, at the very beginning of the first book, people celebrating, so that's not right?
No.
Okay, I don't think it was Surrey anyway.
I see tents.
The World Cup. That's the one, the World Cup.
The Quidditch World Cup. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The Quidditch World Cup. Yes. Good job, guys. I knew you were going to get it when I said tents. Damn it.
That was the only time they had tents. I know. There was a tent in Dean, the Forest in of Dean.
The Forest of Dean. Yeah.
I should have yelled at the Forest of Dean.
Anyways, my other clues were, I see broomsticks, I see a big arena, I see team representation, I see a golden snitch, I may see Victor Krum, and I see the dark mark. Ah! We're breaking free.
We're sorting.
Drinking.
There's not a sword in this movie that we can't botch, and I'll go first.
When I call your name, you will come forth. I shall place a sorting hat on your head, and you will be sorted into your houses.
All right, so I will go first, and I have Coach Bolton, who is Troy's dad.
Boo.
Michelle, did you even watch the movie?
Yes, I did, Amanda. And let me tell you when. I watched it last night, less than 24 hours ago is when I finished it. And it's not very good.
No, it's not. But my 16-year-old self was very happy watching it again. So I think Troy's dad is a Hufflepuff. I think he's a very hard worker. We see him working Troy with basketball even while they're on vacation. He obviously shows a lot of dedication to the sport. In the beginning, you might think he takes the game too seriously, which you might think would be a Slytherin or Gryffindor trait. But in the end, all he wants is for Troy to have fun, whether they get that championship or not. And I think that resembles a great Hufflepuff. He knows when to put in the work, but also remembers to have fun as well. He is also really great at pep talks and talking up his team. There's that time, though, that he blames Gabriella for Troy's detention, which is questionable, but it was just because he cares so much about his son, which is a Hufflepuff trait. So, Hufflepuff.
I don't know.
Oh, God. Okay.
I mean, he's kind of the worst.
Yeah. I know, he is. I know, but, you know, I'm putting him into the wrong house, so Hufflepuff. I tried.
I mean, eventually...
It was hard to sort.
He was okay, but, like, Troy couldn't even call... He was, like, confused calling him dad later in the movie. Because he's so used to calling him coach.
I feel like deep down he's a great guy.
Okay, yeah. I mean, probably...
I mean, yeah, he shows that at the end that deep down he's a great guy, right?
I mean, he works hard at basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He works was hard like, at what was his... he like the 1981 champion or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because but he's old, yeah.
Okay, let's just point out that he's old.
But I don't like him really. Kind of like Malfoy, where you guys are like, he's a great guy deep down. And I'm like, but he sucks.
Yeah, but Tom Felton's great, so.
Good point. Let's move on.
Might as well. There's not really much else to say about
There's
him.
Not. I had a hard time. I had a hard time.
Yeah, fuck this guy.
He, like, doesn't listen to his son. Let's just go to Miss Darvis, who is equally interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so here's, up next I'm sorting Miss Darvis. And I'm going to sort her into Gryffindor.
I don't like it.
The main trait Ms. Darvis seems to have is that she's a fucking flip-flopper, right? She's like she's John Kerry level of flip-flopper. that's a callback to a long time ago. But anyway.
Callback, hot, got it.
Callbacks.
Danny callback. Just got it.
Took me a second.
Anyway, she can't make up her mind about shit, right? Like, first she wants Troy and Gabby to be in the musical, and then she doesn't. And then maybe she does, but then she plots to keep them away from auditions, and then she throws her clipboard away and claps along at the end. So she's fickle, and she's reckless, and she's a Gryffindor, right?
She's very confusing.
Yeah.
She really is.
She also takes a really reckless approach with the English language, because she pronounced musical, musicale. And honestly, I wanted to punch her in her... face. I couldn't even think of how to pronounce face in a weird way, but that's where I wanted to punch her. Boss. By the end of the movie.
Boss.
Yeah. honestly, I wanted to punch her in the fosse. So, Griffey it is.
Aw, Gryffindor gets all the good characters, I'm telling you.
Oh, Miss Darbus. I like that she's a drama teacher, but yeah, she's like, she just really favors Sharpay and Ryan, and she pretends that she's like, oh, I'm going to let everybody in. It's part of the musicale and the drama club. We always let everybody have their chance. And then she's like, never mind, I'm just going to schedule this at the same time as the decathlon and that dumb basketball game.
Yeah, it was stupid. Like, what's her problem? Seriously, like, you know what? Actually, I'll tell you a problem. Cell phones. She fucking hates them.
She does. She really hates cell phones.
She's like on a fucking boomer level with the cell phone basket and shit. It's awful.
Well, she is a boomer.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer. Miss Darbus. What did we put her in?
Slytherin? Gryffindor. Nice try. Nice try.
I mean, fine. No, I don't like her in my house. We need to get her out of my house.
Can this be the one? She likes drama.
Yeah, so she likes drama, which is good. I think that's, she's very passionate about drama. And she's just throwing out detentions like it's nothing serious, which is slightly reckless. Like, you could be ruining somebody's life with that detention, Miss Darbus. And
lastly, she walks into the boys' locker room just like it doesn't matter when it really, really does.
And she doesn't know the difference between making touchdowns and throwing baskets. Come on, Miss Darbus. It's not that freaking hard.
You fucking dumbass, Miss Darbus. Like, you don't know the difference.
Oh, gosh. All right, let's move on. She's getting way too much of our time. Okay, I'm up next, and I have Zeke.
And Zeke, Wait, no. You have Coach Bolton. So you have to start Coach Bolton again.
Yeah, nope. Zeke or Coach Bolton, you can choose.
Your choice. I would choose to sort Coach Bolton again, frankly. Just for the humor, just to see if anyone's paying attention. Like, Reese, are you paying attention? We just sort of the same character twice.
Okay, I'm up next. I have Zeke. And Zeke is a Hufflepuff. We have made it clear that people who love cookies and food are Hufflepuffs. Woo! But Zeke takes it to the next level. He's a fancy schmancy Hufflepuff.
Bow, bow, bow.
He makes difficult things like creme brulee and some other stuff he rattled off that I can't remember. Not only that, he makes baked goods for his friends. I don't think there is anything more Hufflepuff than someone being passionate about baking for their friends. Right, Mish? You do that.
Hell yeah.
Mish makes cookies. Mish makes cake. Mish makes pies. Cupcakes. And she's a Hufflepuff.
Caramel bars. People love my caramel bars.
Oh, your caramel bars are the shit.
I make them for a lot of people's birthdays.
TheBomb.com. All that and a bag of chips.
So Zeke's like one of my favorite Hufflepuffs. He's like Mish. Mish also plays basketball.
I'm one of your favorite Hufflepuffs.
Yes, you're definitely one of my favorites. I mean, Tonks is up there, and so is Newt, but you're like third.
I'll take it. I'm not as badass as either of those people.
You're third against the fictional characters.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, Zeke's definitely a Hufflepuff. All right, up next.
Wait, I have a thing about Zeke. Jeez.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Don't move along so quick.
Wait, you got it.
My God. I think that there's a Ravenclaw argument with Zeke because I think it's like being a baker is like a chemist. Right? I mean, you have to put all the ingredients in correctly to get your perfect, you know, thing.
Yeah.
So I think he's very smart in order to know how to bake. And especially that creme brulee, don't you have to like fire the top of it?
Yeah, with a little torch.
Yeah, scorch that thing.
So your argument is, I hear you about the baking thing, but I want to go a level deeper. instead of just saying cookies Hufflepuff, you want to say know how to make cookie equal Ravenclaw.
No, I say know how to eat cookies Hufflepuff, know how to make cookies Ravenclaw. Do you see the difference?
I do, actually. Yeah.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
I'm going to stick with Hufflepuff, though.
I'm here all night, guys, for my making sense
argument. I'm not here all night. We got to wrap this shit up.
All right. I'm up next with Kelsey. So I think Kelsey is a Slytherin. I mean, how dare she go against Sharpay like that? She helps scheme to get Troy and Gabriella to the callback. So once again, going against Sharpay. She gives Ryan and Sharpay funny looks during their audition. I know it's weird that they're singing love songs to each other since they're a brother and sister, but still rude, Kelsey. Do you see what I'm saying here? She goes against Sharpay, so she's a Slytherin. Schemey scheme.
Oh, for sure. And Sharpay at the end is like, you don't want to do that. And Kelsey's
oh,
all
for
like,
sure
oh,
I do.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And how could she do that to Sharpay?
How could she do that to the queen?
The Sharpay. Woman who plucked her songs out of obscurity and put them in their musicales.
Yeah. She's been in 13 musicales, and how many has Kelsey, what's that word?
Composed?
Composed, thank you. Yes, composed.
A million.
This is the first
composing
one.
Composing is really pretty cool, and that does.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Slytherin.
Actually, I think it takes way
takes
more
a lot
work.
Of ambition.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Danny. Ambition.
Yeah, composing a whole musical at the age of, like, I don't know, what, 15?
16, uh-huh. Probably.
Lots of ambition.
Also courage.
Also courage.
Also a lot of other things.
And resourcefulness.
Yeah, she knows how to play that piano. Woo!
Yeah, she knows how to use her resources. So
she knows how to use her glasses.
And that beret.
So, yeah, I
like Kelsey. So, yeah,
I like Kelsey too. It's just really hard to sort her in anything other than Hufflepuff. So, you know, Slytherin.
I'm up next and I'm sorting Taylor. And I'm putting Taylor into Slytherin for that crazy scheme she concocts to separate Troy and Gabriella. Right? I can't figure out why she. Why, if she hates these jocks so much to the point that she's like, I have to make sure my friend doesn't make a mistake. But then she, like, teams up with them to plot against Gabriella like that, you know, even though she hates them. And I just think it's kind of weird because, like, she got into bed with her enemy. Is it worth it? You know, is keeping the status quo so important to these weird kids that, like, it's like, I'm going to team up with the people I hate to make sure that nobody crosses lines into the other lane, right? But it worked. Credit to her, it worked. And then she felt bad, and then it didn't matter anymore. But it did work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. It was just shitty what they did.
It was so bad. Friends. Oh my god, they're terrible. Yeah.
It's awful.
I hate that part of the movie.
I don't think I could forgive somebody who'd do that to me, honestly.
Oh, you wouldn't in high school? Like, really? You wouldn't forget about it?
I wouldn't forget about it? No, I never forget anything. What are you talking about?
Oh. My God.
She said she wouldn't forgive.
Yeah,
she also wouldn't forget.
I said I wouldn't forgive.
Got it.
But I might forget it, but even then I wouldn't forgive it.
Right.
I also, like, really like her in Slytherin for the sake that she has really good comebacks against Chad. Like when they're giving Chad detention and I think she said something like, oh, I don't think Chad can count that high or something. Can't remember specifically that quote, but the one I do remember is when they're trying to sync watches when the scheme is happening and she told him that they're not Charlie's Angels. Which
oh, yeah,
I
like
really,
that too.
Which is really
yeah,
funny.
When he's trying to be all like sneaky and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but we're funny. Not Charlie's Angels, Chad.
He's like, I could wish or something like that. Yeah,
right.
Taylor's pretty cool. Yeah. She's smart.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about putting her in Babe House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of these people could be in Babe House.
I think every single one, to be honest. I thought about putting, I don't have Sharpay, but Sharpay should be in Babe House. Just throwing that out there, Mish.
They all should be in Babe House, really. We'll see. Up next, I have Ryan. I love Ryan.
I love Ryan, too!
He's great, especially in the sequels, but he's still good at this one. But anyway, Ryan, like his sister, is super into musical theater, singing, acting, dancing. He's a triple threat. He's just a little bit smarter, mainly when it comes to how he treats people. So I'm going to put him into Ravenclaw. So it's mainly for his creativity.
He's a Gryffindor.
It's mainly for his creativity with, you know, musical theater, but also because he is clever. Thinking that he and his sister are famous enough to be punked, clever. Having a hard time reading "Go Drama Club!" exclamation point on the shirts. I mean, reading is hard, but he's willing to learn, like Ravenclaw. Mm-hmm. And last, the smartest choice of all, accepting those delicious cookies from Zeke when Sharpay so rudely turned them down.
Okay, I have a different argument for this. Love yours, though, Danny. I really do. I like the not being able to read the drama club part. I think that he's a Gryffindor for being brave enough to put up with Sharpay, and it definitely takes some courage to do those jazz squares. Everyone loves jazz squares.
Love a good jazz square.
I mean, everyone does love a good jazz square. I do kind of agree with Manda Gryffindor for having the courage to seem to thrive under Sharpay, not just put up with her.
That's true. Later in the series, he does get the scholarship to Juilliard.
Okay.
That's over his sister.
I have not seen the sequels. I don't know. I've seen
sorry for these spoilers, but how have you not watched them all?
Does he really get a thing to Juilliard? That's amazing. Good for him.
For choreography. I like dancing.
Aw, because of those jazz squares, Danny.
Yeah, I know, right? Jazz squares, exactly. He knows. Yeah. Everyone loves a good jazz square.
No, I'm good with the Gryffindor for this one.
Yeah, I like Gryffindor.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Let's move on to Chad. I really wanted to put him into the Babe House because he's Babe.
But he's kind of a poop.
Yeah. But he looks like a Babe, as my 16-year-old self would say in this movie where he's probably in his 20s but playing a 16-year-old. So, for one, he wears those very... Oh, sorry, I'm putting him to Ravenclaw. a little sloppy here. Putting him to Ravenclaw. For one, he wears those very clever shirts, like the one where it says, I come with my own background music. Do you guys know the story behind those shirts?
No.
No, but I did notice that shirt.
Yeah, so he wears a lot of, like, funny shirts. They had, apparently, this thing. It came so popular that they would play High School Musical movies, and during those movies, they would have pop-ups that would be, like, vote for the saying on Chad's next shirt. So it was, like, a voting thing for, like, the next High School Musical of what sayings would be on his shirt. It was, like, this whole big thing. And I didn't know this. Kara told me, who's, like, 25, so it makes sense that she would know. shout out to Kara.
I mean, I definitely remember, like, the sing-alongs and the dance-alongs, so I don't remember this. So,
yeah, he apparently has very clever shirts. So Ravenclaw aspect, for sure. He comes up with these very clever jokes, like when they're talking about Sharpay when they came back from vacation. You know, Sharpay spent the holidays like she always does, and then Troy says, "How's that?" And he goes, "Shopping for mirrors." Ha ha ha. Like, apparently that's supposed to be funny. I mean, it was funny to all of them. So yeah, Ravenclaw, he's super funny. I also think it's just very hilarious that he always carries a basketball around with him, like, just in case somebody wants to play basketball. I have no idea. But, you know, like, during third period, somebody wants to play basketball. Well, there's Chad. He has a basketball, so we can go play basketball. I don't really know. But he never has school supplies on him. He only has a basketball.
Yeah. That's the only thing that matters.
He also thinks everyone should stick to the status quo, which I think is very wise. And I can semi get on board with him because I also don't enjoy change. And I much prefer to stick with the status quo. So he is going into Ravenclaw.
I'm glad you told us at the end because I could not remember where you put him.
Yeah, I know.
I know. I always make sure that I say in the beginning at the end at the end because I agree with your guys' sorting. I never remember at the end.
It feels so long ago that you started.
Wait, what is he? A Ravenclaw?
Yeah. This episode brought to you by a lot of beer.
I like Chad. I think he's cute. I think he's a big jerk. He's a jerk friend.
Yeah.
So Ravenclaw seems right.
Yeah.
He's an evil genius when he comes up with, I think he came up with most of that scheme.
Okay, yeah, I left that part out, but yes, he does. He is very clever because he comes up with the scheme that gets Gabrielle and Troy away from each other, even though it's a dumbass scheme, but whatever.
Yeah, that shitty scheme. Real Slytherin. Wait. Ravenclaw. Evil genius. Ravenclaw. Really, really evil genius shit there.
Yep.
But he's good at basketball.
Yeah,
guys, there's that.
You're doing great on this episode, just pointing that out.
For sure.
I'm having a great time.
Me too. I love it.
Sure.
Woo! Sharpay!
Hannah. I'm gonna go up next and I'm gonna sort Sharpay. How does no one ever comment on this name, though? That's like the biggest question mark for me after watching this movie last night. It's not the contrived way that Troy and Gabby first meet each other randomly at New Year's Eve when their parents push them on some kind of young adult party or whatever.
Kids party.
It's not the strange, weirdo fucking teachers who are obsessed with living vicariously through their students / children. It's not the super creepy brother-sister relationship between Sharpay and Ryan, which is very weird. Gross. It's so it's gross.
So weird.
No, the biggest question mark after watching the movie is, honestly, how the fuck is this broad's name Sharpay? And everyone just accepts that. No one's ever like, Gabby meets her and she's not like, wait, what? Like, how? I don't understand that. some Disney bullshit. Like, she probably turns into a unicorn in her spare time, too, because her mom's secretly from Middle Earth or something.
Earth, too.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Earth, too. Anyway, I'm sorting her into Hufflepuff.
Boo! Why? She's a Gryffindor.
Oh my god! You think everybody's a Gryffindor in this movie?
Because I love everyone.
One, I'm sorting her into Hufflepuff, not solely but partially because Babe. Two, Amanda, I swear to God, 10 minutes ago you said I hope you sort her into Babe House.
Oh yeah. Well, okay, for Babe House purposes, yes.
I love Ashley Tisdale.
Me too. She's amazing.
She's got me in a Tisdale.
Nice. I love it.
But anyway, I'm starting her into Hufflepuff because she's so dedicated to her theater group, of course. Mm-hmm. She gets what's her face, the short one, the
piano Kelsey. Kelsey. Yeah.
Yeah, her gives her all that constructive feedback on her compositions, you know, to help her out, to improve. She helps her brother out when he's messing up the choreography, when he goes too far up the ladder and she bops him down.
Right? Yeah, I love that.
Love it.
And she just got the best interests of the musical and Ms. Darbus, who works very hard after all her hard work. It'd be a shame if something happened.
Break a leg.
She has the musical's best interest and Ms. Darbus's best interest in heart, which is, you know, is like, we can't let a meathead like Troy audition. That's crazy. So, I mean, ultimately, I do believe she belongs in Hufflepuff, but there's a scene in this movie where she turns down cookies, and not just turns down cookies,
cookies
from that hottie baker.
She says, evaporate, tall person.
So this is a very sloppy sorting.
Super sloppy.
Hufflepuff.
But yeah, I can see her as a Hufflepuff. She's really sweet and kind, believes in moral codes and justice.
Yeah.
None of those things, just the things you said. The dedication and hard work is really it.
I do think that I can get behind Hufflepuff due to the fact of Babe House, and she is very dedicated and works very hard to get that lead spot, very hard. Like, that's like her entire life, I swear to God, for 1 week.
But wait.
Oh, we're waiting.
In the post-credit scene, she runs back to Zeke. and says, "These are the best freaking cookies I've ever had." And she jumps on him. So,
really?
Yeah, you didn't watch the post-credit scene.
Why would I assume there's a post-credit scene in High School Musical?
Because it's like Marvel.
It's amazing. She's like, "Zeke!" And then she runs through the balloon. She's like, "These are the best freaking cookies I've ever had." She throws the cookie, which is terrible. But then she runs to Zeke, and then they make babies or something. I don't know. I didn't see the sequels. Just kidding. I did. That doesn't happen in the sequels.
I
was gonna say, you did
I don't know if you're making that up, but it sounds amazing. And
no, it's true. I've seen it.
Solidifies that she's in Hufflepuff.
Yes, it does. I'm glad I remembered this. It definitely happened. We always watch for a post-credit scene. Even on DCOMs from the 2000s.
Yeah, I'm like,
you never know.
I was like, a DCOM from our own childhood.
From 2006. Like, yeah.
I guess Ferris Bueller had a post-credit scene, so it's not like
and a great one at that.
And a great one, yeah. Anyway.
I love Sharpay. She's one of my favorite. Actually, I think she might be my favorite character. She's so funny.
Yeah, and some of her songs in the sequels are really good.
Oh, my
God. I want it all.
No one else has seen the sequels, man.
I mean, I've seen the second one, but I haven't seen it recently.
I'm pretty sure the third one was on the big screen, guys. It got better as it went.
What the hell does it mean? It's on the big screen? Like, it was in theaters?
Yeah.
It was on, like, big TVs, Amanda. Because it was later. It was like, a later
what
year.
What was High School Musical? Was it TVs, not on the big screen?
No, it was a DCOM. It's just a DCOM.
What the hell is a BCOM?
I said DCOM. A Disney... Oh. Channel original movie, DCOM.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, I'm checking. I'm pretty sure that it might have made it. Yeah, it went to, it made $17 million on Friday.
This past Friday?
But it actually went to theaters, guys. Jeez. High School Musical 3.
Holy shit.
This past Friday, it made $17 million.
Honestly, I haven't been to a movie theater in a while. I would go watch this.
Justin and I have been together for almost 2 years, and we still have not seen a movie in a movie theater together.
All right, braggart.
Thank you, COVID. What?
Been together 2 years. Good for you.
Guys, get this. It beat out Saw 5 for the number one spot when it was debuted.
That's amazing. I love it.
It also broke a record that Enchanted had for the biggest opening ever for a movie musical. So that is actually pretty good.
Oh, anyway, side note, Enchanted's coming out with a sequel.
By the way. I know. I'm excited. Disenchanted, I'm pretty sure is what it's called.
Oh, I thought it was going to be called Too Enchanted, Too Furious.
Why wouldn't they do that? That's amazing. Meesh, you got to get to Hollywood.
I know, right? I have the best idea.
But I do want to take it back to what your biggest question was, Sharpay's name or whatever. Yeah. But Adam and I were watching it last night, and he's like, the biggest question of the show is, what is Twinkle Town about? Because the songs that we know are like, what are they? Breaking Free, Bop to the Top.
It's very strange.
I don't know if Bop to the Top is in the musical. Is it? Because, like, how does that make any fucking sense?
I think they were supposed to be, like, doing callbacks for the musical.
Well,
like,
Troy's and Gabriella's was definitely in the musical because Miss Darbus was like, Gabriella, teach them in the second act the whatever.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So you would just assume that Bop to the Top would be in the musical, which is so strange because it's, like, flamingo themed.
Bop to the top.
Did you say flamingo?
Yep.
That's definitely what she said. I don't know what it means, but I love it.
I think she's trying to say flamenco.
Flamboyant?
No.
The bird.
You mean the bird.
Yes, flamingo.
Okay. All right.
There's not much pink in that, but whatever.
Isn't she wearing like
blue.
Flamingo thing?
Well, it's a blue feathered thing.
The entire time I was thinking it was a flamingo.
And they climb up a ladder. It's really great. I actually enjoyed that one.
Slip and slide, my.
I thought you were trying to say flamingo, like the dance style.
Flamingo, the bird.
The bird, thank you. Duh. Thanks, Amanda. Thank you.
I have Gabriella. As Michelle would say, Gabby.
Yeah, I know they never call her Gabby, but it's just, like, it's so hard to say the whole word.
That's true. Gabriella, though, is a sweet, sweet Slytherin. First, she just so happens to accidentally audition for the school musicale, but she knew what she was doing. She's amazing. She's attempting to steal the lead. Then she dumps perfectly delicious cheese fries on Sharpay on purpose. She's a self-proclaimed freaky math girl. I mean, the math she does in this movie requires some real Slytherin intelligence. She's ambitious, scoring 41 points in the district final, building a rocket ship, climbing Kilimanjaro, deep sea diving, flying solo around the world, rescuing 15 elephants, and inventing popcorn all by the age of 15. JK.
Wow.
She's a lying liar. And just that whole scheme to compete in the decathlon and make it to the callbacks where she just kills it shows what lengths she'll go for what she wants. Slytherin.
I think that we should talk about the humbleness of her when she's very afraid to actually sing in front of the
audience. That's phony. That's phony as fuck.
That's an act.
Yeah, that's phony.
Oh my goodness.
That's phony, man. Because, like, it's like, she's fine. Both times she sings in front of people, she's like, I'm so scared, but she's fine. And she kills it, so it's an act.
Okay.
I mean, you can talk about it if you want, though.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I also put her into Slytherin, but I didn't have any reasons why. I just thought that she should be a Slytherin.
That sounds good. It's that ballad, right? It's a little slithery.
I think it's the fact that, like, she gives in so easily to this stupid scheme that Taylor and Chad give her. And it's like, communication is probably better for you. You should probably think about that.
I mean, she saw him say it over the webcam.
Okay, but like,
Gabriella doesn't matter.
Right, but you wouldn't ask him about it.
I would have been pissed. I would have probably done similar to what she did.
You wouldn't have that? Okay, so you need to learn communication.
I've been married for 10 years. I'm not communicating anymore.
How are we blaming Gabriella for this when Troy's the dumbass who said that shit?
Yes.
Right. We will talk about that.
But
will we talk about that? I don't know if I have that in.
I don't know. You tell me, man. As far as Gabriella, I totally agree with what Danny said, which was Slytherin. because I feel like I feel like she's kind of phony with this like Nesquil act, and secretly is like really ambitious and kind of prideful. And also, like, is there anything she's not good at? Like, I don't understand how a human being is good at literally everything she does, like math, science. She sings like a legitimate professional singer. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Thank you for agreeing with me.
And thank you for agreeing with me.
All right, well, whatever.
She's a Slytherin.
Moving on to Troy.
Troy the Wonder Boy.
It's a BMOC.
What does that stand for?
The big man on campus.
Oh, nice. Okay, I didn't
I thought it was bitch man in charge.
Okay, so I think Troy is sorted into the babe house because he ages just like fine wine. And yeah, Zac Efron, babe house for sure. Yeah. So that means Troy is in the babe house.
My reasoning is, yeah, Zac Efron. And then, like, it'd be so funny if you didn't say anything else.
Listen, it's weird to say that, like, a 16-year-old is in the babe house. I don't want to say that, so.
But we watched this when we were 16.
Right.
Well, I was 17.
I did not.
I was 17.
Okay, so anyways, totally obsessed with this guy in high school. Loved him. Definite girl crush. I think he's a closet musical freak, which what Hufflepuff isn't. He's a hard worker, working very hard to not be found out that he went to auditions. He even hides behind a mop, right? It's very hardworking.
Right.
He doesn't want to be a basketball guy. He just wants to be a guy, you know, a basic and general guy. And Hufflepuffs are just basic in general, so it makes sense. He is slightly weird with his jokes and saying things like, call me freaky callback guy. Like, I don't get that, but sounds like something a Hufflepuff would say. And finally, he seems like he's a little oblivious to the fact that his teammates are putting up a webcam to record him talking smack on Gabriella. Like, how in the world did he not see that? Must have puffed a little too much, if you know what I'm saying. So that's why I'm putting him into Hufflepuff.
What?
He does go up to that garden a lot. I don't know what's up there.
Herbs? You think they're growing herbs up there?
On the roof of a high school, definitely. It's a prime location. There's a lot of sunlight on the top of a roof.
Prime location. Yeah. This is a good point. Where'd you sort him?
Hufflepuff. Babe house.
Oh, right. Zac Efron, obviously.
It's Zac Efron. But you know what? In the first movie, he doesn't sing like any of his songs, which is...
What?
Yeah, so he does not sing his songs because I don't know why.
I think he was going through puberty or something. His voice is cracking. I don't know. Some other guy did it. But then in the sequels, he does sing his songs.
Peter Brady style?
Yeah, I guess so. But
all right, Zach,
I like that he goes for different, he tries different things, even if it is just for like a girl, whatever. He realized his potential and he went for it.
Yeah. Hufflepuff. I don't even think it necessarily was for a girl. Like when they randomly sing that song together on New Year's and he says that she's already left, but he says to her, that's the most fun I've had all vacation. Like, I feel like it wasn't just because it was her. I think he, like, discovered a passion that he didn't know he had for singing.
Yeah, that's true. For sure. Yeah.
So I agree with you.
It also helps that they sang really well.
Yeah, for sure. It's, like, unbelievably well.
Yeah, he had a hidden talent he didn't know about, and then he pursued it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's good. It's very Hufflepuff.
Definitely.
Working hard, I think.
I pursue all my talents. And then I give up on them a few years later.
Yeah.
A few months later.
Exactly.
After I've mastered it and I'm just like, I'm done with this. Okay. Now it's time for the magical mashup.
Magical mashup.
We got a mash up the shit. Do, 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 do. Okay. That was great. We're going to mash up. High School Musical, and we're going to mash up Harry Potter with High School Musical, and they're going to make a High School Musical Harry Potter baby. First up, I have a parody. I know. It's amazing. Here we go.
Very, very status quo.
Super, I love it.
Super surprising here. Okay, so this is a parody for We're All In This Together. During the Battle of Hogwarts. Okay. Ready? Here we go. Mm-hmm. We're all fighting Voldy together, one Horcrux at a time, with the Order and Army. We're all fighting Voldy together, and it hurts when friends die, but then Molly kills Bellatrix. Everybody now. Together, 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 everyone. Together. Together, we've got the chosen one. Together, we're there to stun, curse, and jinx. Together, together, after there will be drinks.
Nice. That was really good, Danny.
That was good. Yeah, I like the chosen one. I was not expecting that.
You weren't.
No. Really. Can you? Is the choreography the same? Because that's the best move in the whole musical. That,
yeah, we need to put this on TikTok.
Well, actually, there's some wand work.
Oh, so of course.
We'll work on that, and then we'll put it on TikTok eventually.
Woo!
Yeah, TikTok at Sloppy Sorting Hat.
I feel like we're really threatening our listeners with that, really more than promising it.
Oh no, we're promising it. I'll do it.
Yeah, we got this. Okay. Another magical mashup is that I would like each of us to audition for High School Musical as a Harry Potter character. Okay, everyone pick a Harry Potter character and audition for High School Musical with that song that they all auditioned to in the movie with that scene that is really silly. It's hard to believe. That's how it starts. Is that what it's called?
Hard to believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know
who wants
what it's
to
called.
Go first.
I will.
Okay, let us know the character you are auditioning as. And then go ahead.
I'm auditioning as Voldemort. It's hard to believe, Potter, that I couldn't smell or see. You were always there beside me, and I still couldn't kill you. Thought I was alone, with no one to hold, not even a nose. But Potter, you were always right beside me. This evil feeling's like no other. I want you to know, I've never had someone that knows me like you do. Literally, we share one course. The way you do. I've never had someone as good for me as you to keep me immortal. No one like you. So lonely before I finally found what I've been looking for. It's you, Potter. Do-do-do-do-do. All right, that's all I have.
I'm sorry, I don't think I can follow that.
Yeah, right.
That was amazing.
That was so funny. Oh my god. All right.
I'm glad you guys liked it.
Oh my god, that was so dumb.
I'm really ashamed of what I did now.
I didn't do anything.
All right, here's me. Here's my audition. I am auditioning as Severus Snape. It's hard to believe that I couldn't see. You were always there beside me, Lily. Thought I was alone, with no one to hold, but you were always right beside me, Lily. This feeling's like no other. I want you to know, Lily. I'm not going to keep going. That's like one joke.
Really good.
Okay.
Very good, Mish. I loved it.
Nice monotone you had there.
Thank you.
I'm going to attempt Bellatrix, but Manda was amazing. So everybody just listen to Manda's instead. And Mish's. Okay. Ready? It's hard to believe that I couldn't see. You were always there beside me. Thought I was alone with no one to hold. But you were always right beside me. This feeling's like no other. I want you to know. That's it.
I think creepy and Bellatrixy for sure. Like I was creeped out. At a certain point, it started to get to like sexy whisper instead of like sexy scare or not sexy. Sorry, was creepy whisper, but like mostly was very creepy.
It was too Voldy.
I feel like
it was too Voldy. Oh, well, that makes sense then. Yeah.
I was waiting for like a Crucio at the end of one of those.
Oh, I meant to laugh again at the end, but oh well. All right. That was really fun. That was a fun mashup. Thank you guys for participating in my auditions. You all don't get the part. Uh-huh. Okay. Now it's time for Ship Ship Hooray.
Woo!
Ship.
Ship. Hooray!
Ship. Ship.
Hooray!
Ship Ship Hooray is the segment where we discuss different relationships in the Harry Potter universe. For this episode, we'll be discussing Honks. Who knows what Honks is?
Harry and Tonks.
Harry and Tonks.
Oh, wow. You guys are so good at this. So, I like Henny and I like Ronks, but you know what? I could maybe ship Honks. First off, their ship name is hilarious. Honk, honk. They're 7 years apart, which isn't too bad for some of the ships in the universe. And, like, overall, they kind of have a little bit of a vibe in the movies. I don't remember the books, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm surprised they're only 7 years apart.
Yep, yep. 1980 and 1973.
How old is Remus?
Great question.
I mean, that's a significant age difference, too, because, I mean, it does sound like sure. James and Lily had Harry pretty early.
Yeah.
But.
For sure. I did know that.
Oh, shit. Remus was born in 1960. So, yeah, they're like 13 years apart, him and Tom. So the 7 years for Harry is so bad.
Yeah.
That's fine, because that's how it is in canon. And then the 7 years for her and Harry isn't too bad.
Age is just a number, right? Like, it's age difference once you get to a certain age, like in your 20s, like, it's not that big a deal.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, they're both, like, she's an Auror, he becomes, like, the head of the Order. Aurors, obviously she dies, but let's pretend she didn't.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, Danny.
Tonks is dead?
She died a while ago, guys. But she had really cool hair, and she could change, like, her face and stuff. And I love
she
that.
Did. I think
that would have been really cool in bed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Harry would have loved that.
Yeah. She could be anybody Harry wanted her to be.
He'd be like, I want you to look like my mom. I mean, she'd do it.
Ew!
And have, like, a weird, like...
Oh, my Greek, God, Michelle. Like,
weird Greek situation going on.
Is she able to do people?
I don't know. I hope so.
She's able to do people.
She's able to do people.
She's just able to change her hair to make them look like
people. In her face. She was able to be a pig in the movie.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was able to do that in the book, too. So, yeah. So, Harry would fulfill his weird mom fetish with her. I love it.
An animal fetish, which is...
Wait, did she already have Teddy with Lupin?
Well, in this discussion, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, Harry was underage at the time that she had Teddy, so...
Yeah, she divorces Remus. This is a scenario where they live. They surround the island. She divorces Remus, and then she marries her son's godfather.
Well, it makes it interesting.
I mean, godfather, it's not that big of a deal, really. Right?
Well,
like, an uncle, sure, that's weird, but the godfather could just be, like, any friend, kind of like Harry. So. Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
Anyway, they're both Leo. I checked.
Oh, nice, Danny. Yeah, yeah, Harry Potter's it. Leo. Woo! And Tonks. Also one of my favorite characters. Makes sense, guys.
So they're both Leos, and two Leos do make a good couple, but there is a high chance of drama due to ego and the power struggle for attention.
I can see that.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes sense for all the Leos I know in my life, so, like, maybe I'm Adam.
And Leo.
Well, Leo's actually a
Leo.
Taurus.
I know, it was a joke.
But he does love attention. They're about a 78% match, so I think that this could work. I think that they would be kind of cute together.
Yeah, I think it would work. I think it would be interesting. I actually kind of like it.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I would like to see the babies of them.
Yeah, I hope they have cool hair colors.
I hope doesn't name them after stupid Harry Potter characters.
I hope that their kids have the ability to change the scar that's on their forehead to whatever they want to look like.
Ooh, like a star?
Yeah.
Or like a happy face?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of symbols that could make it. That would be really cool.
I know, right? You can make it say, like, you're a dumbass backward on your forehead, so then when you look in the mirror, it says you're a dumbass.
Yeah, that would be good.
Nice.
Well, it seems like the sloppy sorting hat is okay with this ship.
Yeah. I actually really like it. I thought it was a good ship. I like the name, too.
If Penny and Remus weren't there, then yeah, this would be great.
Remus. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
You misspoke. You misspoke.
All right, well, up next, it's time to spill that Veritaserum.
The time has come for answers. Have you brought the Veritaserum?
I do actually have a listener question.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
And is it from Jose, friend of the podcast?
An excellent guess, Amanda. You're correct. It is from friend of the show, Jose, who wants me to ask, when can I get back on the podcast?
Whenever you want, Jose. Just pick a theme or whatever we pick.
I'm pretty sure we required him to develop something for the podcast.
Oh, we did.
He needs to come up with a cocktail or a beat.
Does he have to drop us a beat? Drop us a beat, Jose, and you can get back on the podcast.
It could be the closing. It can be like something in the middle. I don't care. Give us something to work with.
I don't know, guys. Maybe we should waive this requirement. I mean, he is a pretty good friend.
I'm pretty sure that in 2019, when we started this, he said he was going to make a beat, and he hasn't yet, so...
I'm willing to waive the requirement.
Sometimes it'd be like that, guys. It's just, that's how it is, so...
I think that everyone's so used to our beats now, we don't even have to change it.
I know, that's true. It's totally true.
He can be on it if he, like, if he wants to be on a specific episode, we'd love to have him.
The bar has gotten so low.
Amanda is just so nice. Definitely turning into the puff of her Griffin puff.
I thought he was fun. I would love to have
Having Jose on the show. I just
Danny, we don't have to like require people to do things for us in order for them to be on the show.
You know what? Maybe we should just do like a podcast spinoff.
Oh, and like he co-hosts?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. What if we did like a weekly podcast about Big Brother season 23? That's coming out soon.
Oh yeah, let's do it. It starts soon though, so I don't know. Let's post the first episode this week on July 9th.
Sounds perfect. All right, there you go, friend of the show, Jose. You're back on.
Woo!
Kinda.
A little bit.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed our High School Musical episode. Don't forget to like, rate, save, subscribe, or whatever you're supposed to do so you don't miss an episode. Rate us 5 stars. Follow us on Instagram at sloppy.sorting.hat, TikTok at sloppysortinghat, Twitter at sloppysorting, and Facebook. Feel free to send us questions and suggestions. Until next time, stay sloppy. What team?
Wildcats.
Wildcats. Ha ha ha.